Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back to recap Survivor Edge of Extinction Episode 2, where we have no idea if somebody's about to join Reem on Extinction Island or if Keith is actually going to be somebody who doesn't take advantage of this twist and just walks off the island, which I would find very shocking. But they did leave us with that cliffhanger. They also left us with Reem saying that if nobody shows up soon, she's not going to be able to last. And they also completely forgot that day 5 existed. I think that that happened, and I want to see if anybody else noticed that. Almost every single thing that happened in this episode took place on day 4, and then the immunity challenge took place on day 6, and there was supposedly no day 5. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if that was just an editing trick, and there were some day 5 footage in there, but I noticed that, and I feel bad for day 5, the true, on the edge of extinction, because they might not need it anymore.
I just lost you at the end, but if I heard you correctly, you think day 5 is currently on the edge of extinction with Reem and potentially Keith. I didn't notice that until you pointed it out, but I did notice they mentioned day 4 twice and day 6 twice. So yeah, day 5, I guess, just didn't happen. Or there was nothing noteworthy and people were just dancing on the Kama tribe for like an entire day. And after Aubrey mentioned she wasn't into it, they just said, you know what, let's not record it.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we could talk about this as a Chris, I see you. Chris shows up this episode, has a pretty big impact on the episode, despite the fact that Kelly Wentworth was never really going to go home, probably. It just didn't make enough sense. But despite that, even Julia, who is still confessionless, and I know that that will make everybody go crazy, and they're going to start calling her Purple Julia pretty soon. But she got no confessionals, but she was still a huge part of this episode. Really, comma. No, almost nobody on that tribe got a confessional. Even Joey Amazing forgot that he was supposed to get on TV this week. So it wasn't a big confessional episode, but it was a big finding out where people stand with each other. And I thought this was a really, really good episode. I really enjoyed it. And on Kama, you know, Ron was absolutely hilarious and he didn't have a confessional either. And then we got to see that whole scene with Aubrey and her talking about how she wants to have a dialogue with everybody, and I love that she uses the word dialogue. It's so funny. But yeah, it's like we didn't get individual content from a lot of Kama. Actually, I think Victoria might have had the most individual content. But
she had like 3 or 4 confessionals.
Yeah, she was killing it. But we could see Eric and Gavin are close. Ron is really just seeming like the positive force around that camp. Julia and Victoria are close. We know that Aurora definitely feels closer with Joey Amazing than she does with Aubrey. And she's more of our narrator for that tribe, or it seems like she's going to get one confessional each episode that's just going to tell us what Kama really is thinking, which is first week, Joey Amazing is great. And week 2 is we have so much good team chemistry that that's why we keep winning. So we're getting some content over there, but it was obvious as soon as we all saw that this was going to be the challenge that Manu was not going to win. I don't think that anybody thought that they had a chance to actually pull this out.
That was like a horrible challenge. I remember, well, as soon as I saw those paddles, I was like, oh, this is the Game Changers one. But I forgot it came with untying the gigantic snake. That looks awful. And like Aubrey, like Jeff did the whole like, oh, Aubrey lost that one. Maybe you can redeem yourself. I just rewatched Second Chances. So like he did that in every single challenge. But yeah, between Keith swimming and just that, like just having Joe on the other tribe was just it wasn't even a competition. And they like kept getting it closer. Like, I think to your point, like Chris, we're finally getting a little more content and he was huge in that challenge for them. But that Kama tribe just has so much chemistry. Like they had the people perched up top. They had people just like falling backwards with the snake. It was, it was perfect for them. I thought Manu would maybe catch up, but I figured it was too good to be true.
Yeah, and on top of that, Eric is also a firefighter. So like him carrying that thing over his shoulder, I don't think is any type of trouble for him. You know?
That looked like he was at work.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like clocking in. Like it looked so normal for him.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think the Kama tribe is clearly stronger. I bet we're gonna have one more vote or one more person voted out, which it looks like Wendy's ankle looks absolutely awful. But it looks like we're gonna have one more person go. All right, this is my guess. And then we'll have a swap to 3 tribes of 5 because it seems like they always like to go to 3 tribes. And if that's the case, I would bet Manu loses the next person again. That would be my bet. Just because even getting rid of Keith, you are not doing anything really to weaken the other tribe. And if they're going to keep doing these reward/immunity challenges, Comma can just now start sitting out Julie plus whoever they deem their next weakest person. And you're always going to have Joe. You're always going to have Eric. You're always going to have Gavin. And so because of that, you can't really even it out despite the fact that you just got rid of your weakest person. They're still just going to sit out their weakest two people every challenge. So their seven is still going to be stronger than your seven.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they're going to swap. I don't remember if, like, during these early swaps, if they tease that in the coming up next week. But I'm just thinking about the flow of how the episode would go. Wendy hurts her ankle. That probably happens in a challenge because that looks disgusting. Like, that looks like a giant snake, like, fell on my ankle kind of injury. Not like I tripped over the rocks kind of thing. But I don't know. I can't tell if they showed this Comma tribe just to give us a few of their dynamics. And I think you're right. Like, they gave us something. The Aubrey scene was awesome. I loved that, like, the word dialogue was her go-to. But it was kind of funny. Like, I'm sure Aubrey watched that and she was like, you know what? Like, yeah, that's what I was going for. And Victoria even said that. She was like, it works. Like, she's really great. Victoria looked really good. I loved the Victoria and Julie, like, ridiculous idol hunting conversation. Like, I was, like, staring at my screen, like, this is absurd. Like, Victoria wants to stalk the guys. Julie wants to find an idol, but is talking about it. And then Lauren's the only one who's actually doing something. So,
yeah.
Kudos to Lauren, she found her idol. Just so you know, she's a college athlete. Didn't tell Kelly. I think that's huge. She didn't tell anyone. Obviously, Kelly turned out safe tonight. I think they made her going home out to be a bigger deal than it actually was. But I think Lauren had a really good episode. But, like, she buried that thing in what looks like inches away from the water. Did you notice that too?
I did notice that. But I think because it was close enough to that, like, cliff thing she had there, I bet that's a spot that she might go to for confessionals or something like that. So I could see. Yeah, I still don't think I would bury it that close to the water. But it's a space that the tide, if it comes over it, I guess she's not worried about it. I guess she just doesn't think that that's going to happen. What I thought would be funny is if she buries it there and then it does wash up and David just walks by and picks it up after all this talk of men versus women in terms of idol hunting. I just think David has literally handed to him. Yeah, exactly. And I do want to say that this is definitely the best team I've ever picked. My team is so good. I have Lauren on my team. I have David on my team, who is doing the best out of everybody to blend in. War Dog is not at all on TV what he is on Twitter.
Totally different people.
He could win this game.
As I'm
sitting there watching it, all I can say to myself is War Dog, a man named War Dog, might win Survivor. and it's really crazy because every time he does something, I just buy it. And he's so calm. And, you know, Chris went up to him. And Chris made the mistake. I don't even think it was a mistake, but Chris started this whole plan of what if we got rid of Wentworth? And I don't think he actually believed that they should get rid of Wentworth. I think he just wanted to toss the idea out there to see where people stood. And then Chris kind of went one person too many to talk to War Dog, probably just to get everybody on the same page. And that Chris versus War Dog conversation was such a calm power dynamic conversation where Chris comes in with the information and War Dog changes his mind, but doesn't really ever raise his voice or have to make too much of an argument. Both of them were very calm in that scene. And I'm really surprised that that's how War Dog's been. I'm waiting for some crazy blow up as this game goes on. But right now he looks like one of the more sane people out there.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up that conversation with him and Chris, because that was exactly what happened when Reem called him out of tribal council the previous week. Cause Chris proposed something that he wasn't interested in. And he responded with a very, like, valid point and then was just like, you know what? That's fine. Like, he was cool as a cucumber. He's, like you said, he's, like, the most rational guy out there. And on Twitter, it's just awesome how he's got the total 180. So he's looking really good. He ended up getting what he wanted in the end. I think I really liked that it was going back and forth between Keith and Wentworth, because that's the – do you – vote out, like, your old school reasoning? Do you vote out the guy because he's not good in challenges, or do you vote out Kelly because she's, like, either not loyal, she's a gigantic threat? But I think it might have been Rick who said we might not get another chance to get rid of Kelly. I think there's gonna be plenty of chances to get rid of Kelly. There's gonna be plenty of chances to get rid of any of them, I think, because I mean, her closest ally is Lauren, and Lauren is smart enough to not divulge all of her secrets to Kelly. So if Lauren's
Yeah.
good enough with that, then everybody else is. So I think there will be plenty of chances for them to get rid of Kelly if they need to later.
Yeah, and thank God we finally have somebody like Lauren find an idol early on in the game. Because last season it was Dan who told everybody 2 seasons ago, or 3 seasons ago now, it was Cole who told everybody. You know,
Yeah.
finally we have somebody who seems like they're going to keep it to themselves, although the ocean might just take it and with them. But I
It'll
think
just
Lauren,
spill over your extinction island.
I have to say though, I think this is the right move to get rid of Keith. Maybe not from Chris's standpoint, but from everybody else's standpoint.
Why
David
not
gets,
from Chris's?
because Keith literally told Chris that he would never vote with him against him, and I think that
Yeah.
that is 100% true. So I think that Chris lost a close ally here, but I think everybody else really didn't lose much, and they all keep the shield of Kelly Wentworth. And even David is less of a threat than Kelly, which is crazy. And this goes back to the everything I was saying pre-game. You meet your idol in Kelly Wentworth, and she's not exactly happy, and you're kind of turned off by it. And I think that she's having a harder time with the social game. Look at Rick and David, how quickly they bonded. And I think it's a really natural bonding. And yeah, Kelly has Lauren, but I think it's different. I think Kelly and Lauren is more like Eric and Ozzy from back in Micronesia, where there's a little bit of awe there. And yeah, Lauren's still gonna play her own game, where I think Rick would tell David a lot of things going forward, because I really do. I think the two of them could be like an odd couple that go pretty far in this game. Although I get worried for David if Wendy does go home, and if War Dog, Lauren, Kelly, and who was the other one, and Chris decide that they're going to team up, which, you know, from the preview, it looks like the four of them are going to bond to take out the other three, but who knows?
Yeah, the Rick and David interaction was really cute. And also during Tribal Council when they were like kind of jabbing at each other. I really liked that. They're going to be a great like TV couple if like at the absolute very least. And I loved, I forget what Rick said exactly. I don't think I wrote it down, but Rick was like, "You know, I came to this game wanting to hide behind a big guy." And then they cut out to like a pan shot of the two of them with David sitting like standing next to Rick, and I was like, "This is perfect." Like David's his like big meat shield. So, I loved what they did with that. But David is so little of a threat that Wendy is talking about the returning players in front of him. And you see David, I think Bradley brought this up because it was in one of the previews. You see David just being like, if I say nothing, maybe she will forget who I am. I thought that was really great. And I think to your previous point about Keith never straying from Chris, I know Wendy's target kind of disappeared as soon as they hit as soon as they lost that immunity challenge. But I think with Wendy, that Rick and David are right, she'll follow them. Like, I think she's made it abundantly clear that her, not following, that's the wrong word, but her thing is loyalty. And I think she's going to be really loyal to them. Keith, I felt more of a, I'm saying this because I'm scrambling vibe. But I think they'll keep Wendy, all of Wendy's points. People can say what they will about her. All of Wendy's points about Kelly were completely valid. She knows exactly what she's talking about. And I think if she can stick with those guys, she's probably got a good chance of making it.
Well, and that's what's interesting, even going over to the Kama tribe. Everything that the new players were saying about the returning players, which this episode revolved around Aubrey, was true. And that was the same situation with what was being said about Wentworth. And it's funny that nobody's talking about Joe and David, who, Joe, you know what you're going to get from him. So it is what it is. But nobody's really talking about David as much of a threat as all, at all. And it seems like they're all kind of trusting of him. And I'm kind of surprised by that. I didn't think as many people would be sharing information with David as are sharing information with David, but we are being shown that these newbies are a lot smarter than newbies from the past who never really called out the returning players for, oh, as being strategic or really good social players or really good in challenges. They just played.
Yeah, I don't know what at what point in this episode I think you and I can both agree like this is like a fantastic episode. We were texting each other like this is really great. This is a group of returning players that knows what they're doing and they have like I'm just comparing this to like the Redemption Island cast. Like this group, they all have very distinct personalities. I'm already learning who they're aligned with. They're all cautious and wary, but not completely against the returnees and not completely falling into their lap. This is exactly So far, this is exactly what I want out of like this type of layout, this like team captain layout. I'm really happy with how it's going.
Yeah, and just adding to that, I'm looking right now at who we have for the eliminator or for the fantasy game and everything like that. We know Wendy, we know Victoria, we got to know Chris tonight. We obviously know Aubrey. We know Gavin and Eric's relationship. We really know Devin's. We've heard from Aurora in both episodes, Julie in both episodes. We all know Joey Amazing. We all know Wentworth. We all know David. And then you have Ron, who is being shown as this really fun guy. Lauren finds an idol. Wardog is being shown as almost the voice of reason. And then you have Julia, who, despite the fact that we haven't heard much from her, we still know that she's aligned with Victoria, that she's calling out Aubrey for saying the exact same things to her as she is saying to Victoria. So really, in two episodes, I actually feel like I know these people pretty well. And maybe if you're a really casual viewer, you might not know all of their names yet, but you're still going to be able to say that was the person who did this or that was the person who did that. It's been pretty well edited at this point. It's almost like inspired. That's the word I want to use.
Ooh, inspired. That's good. I like that.
That's how it feels.
Yeah, with Julia, I mean, I'm sure if I was Julia, I would be pissed. But she, like, the her, Julia, Aubrey, and Victoria interaction was really funny because they're picking their teeth, which I can only assume is like popsicle sticks. That's what it looked like. I don't know where they got them. It's probably somewhere with Kelly's gigantic piece of celery that she was munching on. And they're just like picking their teeth, and Aubrey's like, dialogues. And they're like, okay. Like, Julia still got her, she still got that like kind of funny moment. And if I'm Victoria, I'm pumped because she got a beanie. That is like huge, especially if it's cold out there. One, she looks super cool in it, and two, like, that's probably huge for all you Jacket Gate people.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, so who else on comma did we hear from? I don't think we really heard from anybody else. I mean, Eric and Gavin were going off looking for the idols. I do think that we should talk about Julie though. She had the confessional of who the hell were the gatherers. I thought that was really funny. And I also think like I like Julie's internal conflict that we're seeing here, where she's having fun with it, but she's still like, why do the men find them so much more often than we do? And blah blah blah. And I think she's doing a really good job of displaying her conflict in an entertaining way. And I think Julie's gonna last for a pretty long time. I think she's around for a little bit.
Yeah, I compared this scene to the, I think it was Angelina and Allison from last season, who were like, women don't find idols, this sucks. And then like Davey and Nick and whoever else found idols, versus this time when like you have this really funny interaction between Julie and Victoria, where Victoria's like, do you know what we should do? We should just follow them. And Julie was like, that is absolutely not even remotely what I was suggesting. But then like she explains the conflict really well, so like as a viewer you get it, and to put it bluntly, it's just framed in probably a more enjoyable way for a viewer than the way that Angelina said it last season, because I think Julie has, there's something about Julie that I think people are really going to like. And then it cuts to Lauren, who's in a completely different situation from those two, and Lauren like has this really inspiring like confessional, and she's like, Kelly Wentworth and Parvati were my people. And then she finds it, and she could like very well with this idol, she could like save Kelly. That's where I think they're probably gonna go with this, or she's gonna blindside Kelly with it, because her whole story has been that she was this huge Kelly Wentworth fan.
Yeah, and a lot of people were worried about, I mean, I know a lot of people were worried about Lauren. Is she just going to be kind of the college? She kept calling herself a college athlete. And then, like, what did we get from her really in the first episode? And she's just latching on to Kelly. And I think tonight we saw a game side of her that I don't think that many people expected to get this early. So I'm really excited to see what is going to happen with Lauren moving forward. And like, I'm feeling good about the two people I was going back and forth between for my winner pick, between Lauren and Eric. Both of them are doing great work out there, and they're not rubbing anybody the wrong way. I mean, Lauren's name isn't coming up. It's Kelly Wentworth. And Eric's the one he's kind of like, I don't really know how to describe it because they haven't gone
Eric's
to tribal yet,
phenomenal.
but he's make it seems like he's making good relationships.
He and Gavin are clearly very close, and I think what they kind of just like repeated what Eric and Gavin had from the premiere. It's just two of them being like, yeah, like we gotta find idols, we gotta get rid of Aubrey or Joe or whoever. And so I originally thought that they would maybe be separating themselves with that, but then we end up seeing that everybody else is on the same page. Really, the only other person on that tribe who we haven't heard from in terms of like their opinions on the returnees is Aurora, who we, like you said, we only heard like kind of a narrator concept from her, and Ron, who is dancing. So they're like, everything seems fine for them. What is your take on this dancing situation? I feel like this is very important.
I thought it was hilarious, and Aubrey's faces are just always ridiculous.
She
And
was like, I want someone to, like, you know, when you take a picture and just zoom in four times and you
yeah.
see like the pure deadness in her eyes. I think that would make a funny meme. So someone on the internet should do that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if you're Manu, you got to be wanting to win a challenge really quickly, because if they're actually doing those dances after they win, that's got to be so obnoxious.
Oh,
That's got
I
to be
know.
so. But I mean, I think it's funny. I think it's like it's entertaining. They're having fun. We're seeing camp life. That's always a good time. And we're hearing Aubrey's take of this sucks. I hate Kumbaya Survivor. She likes going to tribal first. Tell you what, she should be happy she hasn't gone to tribal first, because I think she'd be in a lot more danger than she expected.
I know. I was very, very nervous about halfway through about making Aubrey my eliminator, but I figured they were gonna win. So that worked out well. Vaughn put David. Who did you and Bradley pick?
So
Bradley picked Vaughn.
I had Julia and he had Ron. Bradley
Okay.
had Ron. But also Bradley is not in last place for the power rankings, because Jeff Steinberg had Keith in second, but Bradley in second to last place. He is one of only two people to not get double digits for Keith going home this week. So anybody who's keeping track with how you manage or how you're doing against survivors, that tells you how you're doing against survivors.
Yeah, and actually, that's a reminder. I was putting in the remainder of our bit list today. Cough, cough, intern, if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell is that? Also, I need to say, intern and Rick look weirdly similar, and it's very
Well, they're,
strange
you
that they're
know,
both from
Blacksburg,
Blacksburg.
Virginia.
It's
Yeah,
so
that's
weird,
fine.
but go ahead.
Even though intern's not from Blacksburg, he just has spent enough time there to become your standard Blacksburg
They have
champion.
this same everything. It's so weird.
What was I doing? Oh, competing in Survivors. Adam Klein is back in the game after he had an abysmal performance in his Ghost Island boot list. He fled into hiding and did not submit a David versus Goliath boot list, and he is back. I put in his boot list. I forget where he had Keith. Wasn't paying much attention. But if you want to beat Survivors, you have a chance to beat them at both the boot list. You have a chance to beat a winner at the boot list, and all these hopeful multiple survivors that we're having for our predictions guest.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually don't know what's going on with the bootless game. We don't have a place yet, which will piss
Yeah.
everybody off. But also, if Keith doesn't go to Extinction Island and just goes home, they're going to
Is
give him 18th place.
Yeah, I think
That's
so.
what place Keith is going to get on this season of Survivor if he doesn't go over there. So I will defend this until
So to
the end.
rile you up even more, Adam Klein is on Team Pitchfork.
Oh, I know he is. And I talked to him about this. And there's a reason why he won. You know, he won 5 seasons ago. And like, if he played again, Adam wouldn't win again, because he's just so out of touch. He's
Oh,
just
I
so out
can't
of
wait for him
touch.
to lose his mind over this.
I know. I hope he,
Hi,
I'm going to tell him to
Adam.
listen now, you know,
Adam, what timestamp are we at?
while he's flying to get his poker thing done. Also, I did see that Adam had, he's doing something in Santa Clara where it looks like he's doing a Survivor audition casting call or whatever, and he's going to be there. So if you want a chance to meet Adam, I believe he's going to be in Santa Clara. He tweeted it out and he said if you retweet him, you have a chance to win a buff. So he's literally stealing from his favorite people our idea, and he's just using it on a bigger medium. So Adam, if you're listening, thanks for stealing and not giving credit. Adam, if you're not listening, I mean, I just said you would never win again anyway, so you should, you know, somebody will tell you about it,
I
you know.
really hope that I feel like each season we get like an in hopefully an influx of like new followers, new people. And we very much like having you guys here. But I really hope that someone just jumped in and they're like, I thought this was an episode 2 recap, and they are just shitting on Adam Klein.
Yeah, well, I know, I know. Well, there's reason. Also, anybody who follows us on, or wants to listen to our podcast on iTunes, I have no idea why the Bradley one's
Yeah,
not
what
there.
happened with that?
I have no idea. I've re-uploaded it 3 different times. I look at our Blueberry account and it is there. It says it's there. It says it's published. It says it's able to be watched. I'm going to re-download everything and try to figure out what's going on with that. I did try to do it though. I don't know why it didn't work, but now that's old and we ended up getting a lot more views on our
Crushed me
YouTube, so
on
it makes us
YouTube.
look better. Yeah, it makes us look better. So, but we will I will try to get that one up there. I have no idea why it won't work. All the other ones work. I have no idea why that one won't. Hopefully that doesn't become a theme. Otherwise, I'm gonna have to
That would not be
call
great.
Blueberry. So now you guys know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yes, it's really fun stuff behind the scenes. We're just putting stuff in Google Docs and calling this company that is called Blueberry.
And also yelling at intern because he's not putting stuff in The Google Docs. I just need to say that so many times he lost the bet and he hasn't inputted all of the prop bets. So I just want to throw him under the bus one more time.
Anyways, speaking of
But
tossing people
yeah.
under the bus, this is a transition that doesn't even make sense, so I shouldn't have said it. So this is a comment that you made before we went live, where in the premiere we see Reem choosing to go to the edge of extinction. And I think the overall pacing of this episode was really good. I want to hear what you have to say about it in a second, but this time we don't see Keith making the decision. And we see him like really struggling with it, and then it cuts out. And they do like executive producer Mark Burnett, and then you hear him still in the background. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I think that this is good that you can have two episodes back to back that introduce a new twist and still end differently. Because it creates a little bit more drama. If every episode, sorry, I have a hiccup. Oh no.
Oh, I
If
will give you
every,
$20 if you hiccup.
oh my God, I'm trying not to. If every episode we're going to end the same way, where it's just, what's the decision? I made the decision. Now I'm at extinction. It could get stale, but when you get these really good, what is my decision moments, and honestly, Keith has to take the torch. If he doesn't take the torch, I will be shocked. Especially, he was really fired up leaving. He's a young guy. Like, get over there, see what's at the other end. Just go. Like, let's find out what there is to do. But now you have the added drama of Reem saying, oh, I might not be able to hang out in this game if nobody shows up. So now you have two cliffhangers that you wouldn't have had before this. And I think it worked really well. I liked that we ended on this note. And I also thought the pacing, yeah, the pacing of episode two was amazing. And why it was so good is because you didn't cut back to Extinction Island unnecessarily. We got what we needed to get from it right away. And then that was it. It was done with after that.
Yeah, and it's going to be good next episode because, and obviously Keith didn't have any last words, so they cut back to Reem and she's saying like, "Oh, if no one comes soon, I'm gonna have to raise this white flag." Like, perfect cliffhanger to end on. He's gonna come. They were to some extent allies, and they're gonna have a ton of free time there, so she might as well teach him how to swim while she's out, while they're both out there. Because if he gets back in, he's definitely gonna need to do that. And that was something that I and I think a ton of people were really concerned about. When the season started, or before the season started, like how are you going to include all of these people? And come later on, I have no idea how they'll do it, but right now it's perfect. They're timing it just the way they did with Redemption Island. I don't know if they're going to keep combining these rewards and immunity challenges. What do you think about that?
I don't think they will keep combining the reward and immunity challenges, but then again, like most of the time they do for the most part anyway. You know,
Tribal, I can't even, or in the tribal phase, I can't even like think that
I mean,
far.
there's times that they don't. There's definitely times that we get a reward and an immunity challenge. Early on, we normally get these reward plus immunity, which by the way, if you have anybody on the Kama tribe for enjoys five plus rewards with a prop bet, we've already gotten them having two rewards. The first one was just getting Flint, and the second one was what they got today, which was the fishing gear. So that happened. But yeah, I don't know if they're going to do much this season, though, because very much like the Redemption Island seasons, they didn't have reward challenges because they wanted to spend more time with Redemption Island. And I really do think this also goes to show, though, with how great this episode was, two challenges is outdated. We don't need two challenges. One challenge is enough. I get it in the individual stage. That's fine with me. We can do two challenges, whatever. But two challenges in the tribal phase just isn't necessary. This was a great episode with a lot of idol talk. And yet the idol talk didn't bother me because the idol talk all revolved around relationships anyway. And so because of that, we got to spend a lot of time developing that. We got to spend a lot of time with Reem, you know, the perfect amount of time with Reem. We got to spend a good amount of time with both tribes and then had enough time after the challenge to have the vote switch from Wendy to Wentworth to Keith and then still get Keith's really good moment at the end of the episode. Like, that's how every episode of Survivor should be. Two challenges just isn't necessary anymore. Sorry, Will.
Yeah, I know. Will's probably like, oh crap, I just don't have a job anymore because there's going to be less challenges. But I think that worked out great. I think the pacing was fantastic. Like you just said, to me, it is more worth it to learn about this Kama tribe because if Kama keeps winning, we're probably not going to get to know them. And we are getting to know them. And that's because we are able to cut out probably like 10 to 15 minutes of what would have been a challenge that's extremely similar to everything we've seen in the past 5 years. So I think it's worth it. I think think it was a little silly that they gave it an option. Like it was spices and knives or fishing gear. So maybe they were just trying to spice it up a little bit, no pun intended, but like you gotta choose the fishing gear. And Jeff was like, you gotta work for the fishing gear. Like, I think they know how to use it.
Yeah, I mean, I
In
guess
jokes all
that
the time.
like you have like the spices and knives, but you don't have anything to put it on. What are you gonna put it on, coconut or something? Like you don't
Ooh,
need
that would
that.
be a nice, you know,
I
nice
guess
blend.
that's it. But I also like Reem saying I've only had a couple bites of coconut in 3 days. It's like there's more than one coconut
You're
on
not
that
sharing,
island,
girl.
and you're not sharing with anybody. Just go cut another coconut
You
then.
might need to turn it on. I turned it off.
Oh, Alexa's
All right,
having a side
this is
conversation.
Alexa
That
having
wasn't
a
with me. I'm not
conversation
turning
on
anything on
the.
or off.
Sorry, people. Welcome to the backstage.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, and the only other thing that really happened tonight, Keith definitely spoke after he got voted out.
Yeah,
But
Alexa.
Julie sat out for the first time, so we still have to sit out three or more times. I will say, now that we're just jumping all over the place, I will say that I think that we're not going to have everybody stay on Extinction Island. And I think as we get closer to the merge, people will be able to handle it. But I bet maybe the next two people who go to Extinction Island aren't going to last. And so that might mean we have a 11-person jury, which is the same size as Ghost Island anyway. It's not any different.
So, go finish your thought.
I kind of did. I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
So, do you think more people are going to leave Extinction Island in the pre-merge phase
Yeah.
or after? Because I think like, but what about those people like Reen, for example? She's the best example we have. She loses that first challenge. At that point, do you think she's like, screw this? I've been hanging here for someone to do the math for me. Or at this point, like I'm on the jury as long as I hang here.
Are they going to be told that they're on the jury as long as they hang here, though? That's the question, because she doesn't have a timeline at all. And
No.
that might play into her decision where she might say, I'm just going home. I've stayed out there for 18 days. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that was one of the first things she said. She immediately knows there's no timeline and no one knows that she's there. So, I mean, obviously, she's had a ton of time to think about this.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. I think everyone just made this gigantic assumption that like if you make it past that merge challenge, then you make the jury. But maybe like there's that final challenge. Let's say there's like however many people in that final challenge. Let's say J Jeff says like only if you finish in the top five of this challenge, you're on the jury. Maybe that's how they
I
do
don't
it.
think
Is
they would
that
do that,
not
though.
right or fair?
I don't think they would do that because if you last that many days, you're going to make the jury. There's no
Yeah,
way
then
they
you like
wouldn't do that
can't like balance it.
based on a challenge. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, there's still a chance of a gigantic jury, but I think you're right. Like if, and this is something we talked about preseason. If I'm on there for like 20 days, I'd be like, you know what? F this. Like this is dumb.
And I love my Ghost Island thing because, yeah, Laurel was on the jury. I don't care what anybody says. She's the 11th person. That's the biggest jury.
Jeff very much said that. Did anyone fight on
She,
that?
there might have been a comment or in the chat that said no, Ghost Island was 10, not 11. There's 11.
I miss the chat. Well, actually, I'm kind of, I do and don't miss having the chat.
Yeah, but there was 11. Laura was there. Yeah, so I do. I think if I'm just gonna tie this all back to the fantasy game now, I just want to go back to that. Vaughn took Keith as the last pick here, right? And Vaughn has wiped the floor with us. If he doesn't go to Extinction Island, Vaughn loses another 2 points and he's lost somebody and you and me haven't yet. Plus, I'm pretty sure Lauren's about to win MVP again. I can't really see anybody else winning MVP other than Lauren, unless people really want to give it to War Dog, which in that case, thanks. I'll take the points anyway.
I was gonna say it's Lauren. I'm really impressed. Impressed is the wrong word because this like makes me sound like I wouldn't have expected it of her. But I'm just so impressed that we're like 38 seasons in and she is like, you know what? I'm not telling anyone. I'm not telling my closest ally. To me, that is like bigger than her finding an idol because she's smart. She's good. She could definitely find an idol. But her not telling Kelly, and my mom just texted me and I know what she's going to say. Not telling someone that you have an idol, I think, is one of the most important parts of being on Survivor. And it worked out for Davey beautifully last season. And I think that's really, really going to be good for Lauren. I think she's allied with like possibly a big threat, but everyone's still working with Kelly. Like, no, I don't envision they're going to get rid of Kelly anytime soon. So I think Lauren's an easy MVP.
Yeah, I think it has to be. And I also want to say there's two things I need to say about this. One, it's even more impressive because she found the idol before two people who have found idols on Survivor. And
Yeah,
Kelly
it's in the
Wentworth and
49
David.
Finders. Oh, and they had a
That's.
cool little montage going back to Kelly.
Yeah, and Kelly's were different because Kelly found one at the challenge and then found the other one underneath the shelter, but she had to find clues to find those. So, like, Kelly knows what to be looking for. David definitely knows what to be looking for. I mean, he made the great fake idol, hid it in a thing, and he's looking for the colors and everything. But she did a great job. And I also want to say that the way that was shot was absolutely amazing. And I think this is the first time we've ever actually had it shot this way, where it was almost point of view from Lauren. We were over her shoulder. But if you watch that scene, you can see the blue sticking out of the tree. And it was like the most excited I've ever been, because it almost feels like you're finding an idol. Because every other time we see these idol finds, it's always a close up on the idol where it is, and then you see a hand grab it, or it's like, oh my God, here it is, and it's just the reaction. This one was, oh my God, you can see the little bit of blue just barely sticking out. That's what Lauren saw, and that's what got Lauren to go over there and grab it. It was just so perfectly shot.
I'm glad you said that. I completely forgot to bring that up, but she was perfect for this because you're right. You're coming over her shoulder. It looks like you are the one who's finding it. And she's young. She's clearly been a fan for a really long time. Like she had the reaction that I would have. Like she's like bouncing up and down. She's like, holy crap. Like I've watched this on my TV like dozens of times. I thought that was really well done. And this, I mean, I'm going way too general here, but this is why Survivor is the greatest show on television because we haven't been surprised by idols in a while. The way that Dan pulled it out saying, look, I found this idol going backwards. The way that we just had Lauren find this. Everyone was so down on the season, and there are still plenty of opportunities to hate it. I'm sure we'll have those opinions in like a month or so. But every complaint that people have had going into this preseason has worked out perfectly. Like just the camera shots and the cinematography, just the way they walked into Tribal Council tonight. You see this like giant ship on the side, which not many people probably care about or notice, but those are just the little details that are still being incorporated into the show. And to me, that's worth merging a reward and immunity challenge. And that's unfortunately probably worth losing the main intro. It's been fantastic. This has been a really
Yeah,
great 2 episodes.
I think this has been great. I thought the first episode wasn't that good, I'll be honest. Because the problem is, though, it's not Survivor's fault, it's not the editor's fault. It's there's an hour to introduce you to 14 new people, plus tell you the stories of the four people returning, plus you're introducing a whole new season. It's just not enough time. But tonight was just such a great episode of TV, from top to bottom. It was just really fun to watch. I liked watching Wendy's desperate pleas. I liked watching, David and Rick have their talks while they're also talking about idols. I think that's what worked so well tonight too, is so many times when episodes focus on idols, like they did in Ghost Island, that's all that's going on. And it's like, oh, maybe one or two of us can go look for it. Okay, cool. But it doesn't really develop the relationships any further. And I thought tonight's was great, how Kelly said, why don't we just all go look for the idol? Because we can't have Wendy find it. And then there was a huge pause, and David goes, oh, you mean like an open idol hunt? Like,
Yeah.
yeah, David, that's what he meant.
That was
And
so funny.
it was so well done. And then what you see is Kelly's looking alone, David's looking with a friend. And Kelly's closest ally finds the idol and doesn't tell Kelly. If Rick would have found the idol, he would have probably told David, because they were really close to each other the entire time they were hunting. So even on the other side, Eric and Gavin looking for the idol, Julie and Victoria, their lack of looking for the idol, I just think that there was so much character development, so much relationship building in this idol hunt that it makes up for that the conversation was really based around idols.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think so many people, myself included, have talked about like character moments versus strategy moments as so black and white, but they don't have to be. And tonight was a really great example of being able to merge those really seamlessly because like you said, you just listed out that we know a decent amount about pretty much everybody only 2 episodes in, and 80% of tonight's conversations were idle talk.
Yeah. And I want to point this out too. I'm looking at the chat. Reed Watson said in episode one, Keith said he missed his mom family. You think that set up him walking away from the game? I think that's a really good point. That's a really minor detail that could be really good if he's missing his family and everything. But also, if you're missing your family, you're still going to go on the pre-jury trip. It's not like you go home. So that's always something interesting. If you're going to play
Fair.
Survivor, just remember that the people who do go home are the people who don't get invited to the finale. Vetus,
Yeah, you're oh, Jeremy.
yeah,
Say
Jeremy,
that again.
but this season, that Like, so if you're going there and you're like, oh, I miss my family, so I'm gonna go home, go to Extinction Island, because if you go home, home isn't home. You're just going on a pre-jury trip where you still can't communicate with anybody, or you're going home and you're just like blackballed by Survivor.
Yeah, I think he's gonna go to Extinction Island. I think they like purposely and skillfully made that like pretty dramatic. And in his preseason content, and more, we didn't see it so much in season, but obviously when he's making this decision, he's having like a really intimate conversation with like his faith. And as was announced today, Davey got like the Sia money, which is officially the new like fan favorite thing. And Sia specifically pointed out that like she was really inspired by how connected to his faith Davey was and how he never wavered from that. And so I think these two are completely coincidental, but I think he's seeing this as I'm getting another opportunity. He was clearly very frustrated, and the way that he and Reem have handled this, assuming he goes there, are completely different. Reem almost did it out of anger, it seemed like, and Keith, I think, will view this as another opportunity. So for them, it's the same end game, but they got there in different, will get there in different ways, which I think will be really cool.
And you know what's crazy too? I think of it as I would think of it, which is you walk down that thing, you're so pissed off, you see that and you go, holy crap, I have another chance. Okay, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
But then it's there's an adrenaline also thing. That feeling of it.
It's like an adrenaline thing. Like you're so like pumped up, like you got to keep going.
Yeah, but then at the same time, once you're voted out, even though you're disappointed, there's also a, okay, I'm done. Like you still have that like letdown. You're mad, but you're done. And now all of a sudden, it's a great question of if you were offered a second chance, would you take? Because everybody says they would, but not – maybe we're about to see that not everybody necessarily would. Even the people who are the most pissed off they get voted off might not necessarily take the bait. So I'm really curious what Keith is going to do. I think we have a lot to look forward to coming up next week, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, you bring up a good point there. Like if we get to a point where two people have like a really personal relationship, like if we're, I think Rick and David would be a decent example of this. Let's say David votes out Rick or Rick votes out David. And obviously they're both very strategically oriented, but like let's say the vote out is super, super personal. And the person who goes home is just like personally hurt and upset. That I could almost see like, you know what, this is now affecting me like as a person. I don't need the opportunity. I'm really curious to see how the first I'm not interested in Extinction Island rejection goes, or like justification goes.
Yeah, and I'm really curious what's going to happen with Wendy if she does get injured, because if it's a broken bone, she has to leave the game. Now my question is, she gets pulled from the game, and let's say it's not broken, let's say it's just a bad sprain, and we saw Missy finish out a game with that. If everybody else is getting a second chance and she goes there and just gets like goes to a hospital, does she, like, I know that she's not going to come back, but it kind of begs that question of, okay, everybody else is getting the opportunity to come back and she didn't quit, she got pulled, and now she's being told that she's fine. I mean, look at Eric Reichenbach gets pulled from Karamoan. He would have been fine the next day to come back out. So he didn't quit, he got pulled. And then he decided he wanted to play. He would have decided he was ready to play again.
Yeah, this is actually probably you bring up a great point that I don't think anyone thought of. This is like probably the worst season where if you get medically evacuated, this is the worst possible season to get medically evacuated on. Because if she, like, well, I guess a broken bone is different, but if it's like something they got to just like clean out an infection or clean out someone's stomach, they come back and they're like ready to go. And
yeah, like Jonathan Penner.
Yeah, exactly. Like Reem's been hanging there and Wendy goes to a hospital, but then she's probably fine like 18 hours later. That must really suck. So
yeah, because like it doesn't happen. You're not going to be feeding them all this food. And if you say to them, look, if you don't take any of that, you just do what is necessary in order for the doctors to make sure that you're okay. If you just do all of that, we'll let you go back into the game. But everybody would do that.
Yeah. Totally. I would do that.
Yeah.
But then let's say this is like as close to a medical evacuation as possible, but Wendy's still in it. She's got this planet on the size of her ankle. And then she gets voted out naturally. If she's looking at that thing, is she like, I can't walk, I'm getting this fixed? Or is she saying, F this, I'm still going to Extinction Island? That's a tough one. I would like to see that.
Yeah, exactly. And I would bet with that ankle thing, she'd probably leave.
Yeah,
that would be my guess, because that's really hard. to sit down and just say, okay, I'm gonna go and do all that. It's really tough when you're that hobbled. I mean, that you can't. That's not CGI or makeup that made her ankle look that bad in the preview. That's a really swollen ankle. That's really bruised.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
I don't know. I don't know, necessarily think it's her death knell. I don't think that they would have shown us it if it meant she was automatically going home. So we'll see. All right, MVP, LV, or MVP, no LVP. We already talked about MVP though. I think it's Lauren. Do you want to throw anybody up from your team? Do you want to throw anybody up from Vaughn's team? Carl has Wendy and Victoria.
You know what? Team Carl's not looking too bad. Wendy, say what you will about Wendy, she turned out to be perfectly fine. Victoria's looking really good. And Team Carl actually at the end of last episode was beating us because
Well,
he's
now
the
he's
first one.
tied with you and Vaughn, and I'm in first.
Yeah. Team Carl, he's crushing it and he lost someone.
Yeah.
One point of clarification. Actually, no, I don't need to clarify. We already talked about this last week. No, I'm not. I mean, I think Lauren's the MVP. I'm not gonna I don't feel the need to shoehorn anybody. To me, the MVP is the MVP.
It was great of me to take all of the Manu tribe, because if Ward or if Lauren's on MVP, it's War Dog or David, because they both did, like, War Dog convinced Chris, and then David is just doing a great job of playing this game, making good relationships, and they're all on my team. So I'll take it. I'm happy with it right now. I like where I stand. Nobody who's in our power rankings game for the patrons had Keith in spot 17. There were four people who had them in spot 16, but nobody had them in spot
It
17.
was
So
like what, like 18 people put Wendy and then like one put Aurora and one put someone else.
it
It
was
was like
one
one.
Aurora, one Victoria, Bradley's Aubrey, and then everybody else put Wendy.
Bradley's Aubrey.
Oh,
P.
actually, there
Mac.
were two Aurora. Where was this Aurora hate? Where did
Yeah,
that come from?
I know. She said one thing last week.
I know. I know. Crazy.
What was I? Yeah, Aubrey's looking a little shaky. I'm a little nervous for her. And you see that in the preview too. Like we get Wendy's ankle, which we've talked about ad nauseum. And then we have Aubrey and Joe just being like, yeah, they don't want to work with us, but Joe's probably fine because he is literally the reason that they're winning everything. And I forget there was one other, like, just those four from Manu getting together.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to end up happening with Kama, because I almost feel like what's going to happen is Kama's not going to go to tribal and there's going to be a swap. And it's going to be more about Aubrey finally getting in with people who would work with her, and then that ends up hurting the people who have been against her. Or maybe it doesn't even go that far. But I just feel like Kama's not going to lose. How are they going to lose if Wendy doesn't get medevaced and now has to run a challenge with that ankle? She was a
Yeah, because
great
she needs her
swimmer.
own.
She was a great swimmer, but, like, she wouldn't be able to climb up that thing very easily, and she would have a hard time running, carrying that snake. Like, it's going to be really interesting. I don't see Kama losing. I see Manu losing, and I see it probably being another. I mean, we'll talk about this on the predictions, but I see it being like a Wendy or Wentworth and David's names are coming up or something like that, because they're finally, because they're still the returning players. So that's what I
Yeah,
think.
that's a good point with Wendy. I mean, she's certainly good in challenges, and to just pretty much lose her, though this may happen during a challenge, we'll find out. We'll talk about that later. That's going to be tough for them. I had one. I envision Joe. I think you're right about this Kama tribe not going to tribal council, and then they're going to flip. I see Joe being your Chris Noble, your Jessica Johnson, doesn't go to tribal, crushes it at the beginning, first tribal council, he goes home.
Yeah, and that's what happens to him every single time.
Yeah,
That's what
exactly.
happens to him every time that he plays Survivor. The first time they can get rid of him, they get rid of him. It's
Yeah,
every
because there's
time. It's
no reason
crazy.
to get rid of him right now. Like if I'm Victoria or Julia or whoever doesn't like these returnees, like I gotta keep him right now because I'm sitting pretty.
Yeah. And the only way that Joe does hang around at all is if people do try to use him as a shield. But at that point, you don't want to use him as too much of a shield, because then he only has to win one or two immunities and if people like him. But he didn't say anything tonight. That's
Nope.
pretty telling. When you have a returning player not have a confessional in one of these types of seasons, that's pretty telling of what's going to happen. I don't think Joe's going to win, mainly because of that reason.
I don't think he's gonna win. The only like quote unquote disadvantage about anyone who's like kind of with Joe, you could see this with like an Aurora or whoever is like Julia, whoever's with Joe like throughout these swaps, they could be at a disadvantage, and it's not something you think about, but never going to tribal council. And all the healers said that. They were like, we were screwed because we didn't know how it worked. And to Aubrey's point about not wanting to be kumbaya, you need to learn how to go to tribal council. You need to learn how to have allies. So that's the only like quote unquote disadvantage I could see for them, but right now, like, they're probably amped.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything else you want to talk about in this episode, or you want to preview next episode
I
and do
don't
that?
think so. The only thing, so Kelly had for prop bet, Kelly had the episode title. It was something about like one of us is gonna win the war. Lauren found a hidden immunity idol. Keith, and those are the only two.
That are
Oh,
final.
Keith had an episode. Keith had a confessional in every episode he was in. We are doing that right now.
No, so he'd have to get a confessional next week too.
So we're top. So we are including.
We're cl including when they're on Redemption or when they're on Extinction
So
Island.
Reem so far still has a confessional in
Yeah.
every.
Reem's going to have a confessional in every episode because I don't think Reem's going to make it all the way back into the game. And I do think that she's going to quit either next week or the week after. And next week, we'll probably get a confessional about either Keith joining her or not joining her. And then the week after that, I bet we get a confessional of Reem leaving the game.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
my
But
prediction.
she's the first one there, so she's always going to be like the focal point of it. That's a good point.
And yeah, she's also being joined by Keith, but the story right now is how is Reem going to survive from being there day three all the way to the end?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess so those are the only two we have. Kelly getting the episode title, Lauren getting him immunity idols. So we'll type those in. Again, still nothing on the boot list. We might not put anything there for a little while. And then yeah, soon that's pretty much it for tonight. We're gonna be back Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll be talking to Brendan Shapiro from Survivor Ghost Island. We didn't mean to time up him and Bradley going back to back, but this actually kind of worked because they have this awesome feud, and I'm sure Brendan is going to be slaving over his power rankings to make sure that he beats Bradley.
And it
So,
won't be hard to do.
yeah, because
Bradley got 8 points.
did not do super well at that. So get pumped for that. We're really excited to have Brendan back on. We haven't talked to Brendan in close to like 9 months or so. So tune in for that. In the meantime, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're almost at 1,500 followers on Twitter, which is super exciting. We hit 4,400 subscribers on YouTube. So keep hitting subscribe, keep following us, keep contacting us, and make sure you become a patron. Go to patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We have four different tiers of patrons. If you're a $20 patron, you get to compete against us and survivors in our power rankings game, which has been super fun. And if you are a $20 patron, make sure to get your power rankings for next week into us by Tuesday night. Obviously, you have a ton of time for that. But yeah, in the meantime, keep in touch, and we'll be back Sunday at 8.
Sounds good.